Good morning. It's great to see you this morning. Today, I want to talk to you about putting in a lawn. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about a place where you want to grow some beautiful grass. You might be like, Norm, your timing is a little bit off today. And you would be right. But there's something deeper here that we're going to get at, and Jesus did this often. He would take like some earthly thing that people know about, some principle, some story. He would tell it, and then he would share something deeper. He would share a spiritual truth. He would share something that was of the kingdom to come, and it's called a parable. So let me just start with this. There's two principles that I want to talk about. There's many principles in putting in a lawn, like if you're going to put in a lawn. But I just want to focus in on two of them. And the first one is this, lots and lots of seed. Lots and lots of seed. Copious amounts of seed. Say it with me. Copious amounts of seed. Lots and lots of seed. And then the other one that I want to talk about today is good soil. Say it with me. Good soil. So lots and lots of seed and good soil. So let's talk about lots and lots of seed. If you haven't noticed, I have my seed broadcaster up here today. You're probably wondering why it's not in my shed this morning. It actually works to spread salt for ice as well. So it does get used in the winter occasionally. But this is a great little piece of a tool that is used for throwing out lots and lots of seed. So basically, you just fill this hopper up with a lot of seed, and then there's an apparatus under it that just flings the seed all over the place. Just flings it out. Let's talk about the seed for just a moment. The seed is an embryonic plant. There's thousands and thousands of seeds that fit in here, and each one is like a blueprint for what a blade of grass is supposed to be. And this apparatus, it flings it all over. You fill it right up, and you throw it all over. Now, where did it come from? Where did this idea come from? Well, it came from ancient farmers, actually. Ancient farmers in old times, Scots didn't develop it back then, okay? And so basically what they had is they had like a gunny sack, something like that, a burlap sack, filled with seed, and they would go out and they would just throw the seed everywhere. They just throw it around. And this is the story Jesus told. He said, a farmer went out to sow seed. And he's very generous about it, indiscriminately throwing the seed. And he said, Jesus said that some of it fell on the path. Now, I grew up on a small farm, and this is going to sound weird to you, but back in those days, we saved our shoes for school. So in the summertime, we went barefoot, a lot of barefoot. And let me tell you, the best place to walk was on the path. I can still remember it. It feels so good on the bottom of the feet. It's smooth. The path is great for feet, but not good for seed. Not good for seed. The seed can't penetrate it. It bounces off. And Jesus said the bird comes along and gobbles it up and eats it up. Well, as that farmer was throwing the seed, some of it fell in the shallow soil. Now, what was he talking about? Well, if you go to Israel, which some of us are going to Israel next year, if you go to Israel, you'll find this out, that there's places all around Israel where there's rock under the soil, and there's just a really thin layer of soil. And so if the seed gets on there, it'll grow, it'll sprout. And then Jesus said, when the sun comes out, the sun hits it and scorches it. It dries it out, and that seed dies. So the farmer's out there, he's throwing it generously. And some, Jesus said, goes into where the weeds are at, where the thistles are at. By the way, not a good place to walk barefoot, where the thistles are at, where the thorns are at. But some of it gets out there because he's just chucking it, and it's going everywhere. He's very generous with the seeds, just getting it out there. Some of it goes into there, and it grows. It bursts into life. But it doesn't thrive. It doesn't become what it can be because there's so many other competing things, or other weeds that are there, other grass-type things that are there, and they're soaking up the sun, and they're taking the nutrients, and so it grows, but it never produces anything. And then he says, and Jesus said, then there's the good soil. Remember? The good soil. That seed hits the good soil. It is tilled. It is open. It is cultivated. There's not a lot of weeds in there. There's no shallow soil. It hits it and it bursts into life and it becomes everything that it could be. And Jesus says the harvest is incredible. He said that some of that seed falling on good soil returns 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And then Jesus said, listen, said he who has ears, let him listen. So, lots of seed and good soil leads to a great lawn. Too bad I can't grow one up here. Leads to a great lawn, right? But I don't want to talk to you today about lawns because it's going to be winter. It already is kind of winter out there a little bit. But what we want to talk about today is how to grow a harvest of faith. How to grow something lasting. How to grow something that produces something that everybody around you will enjoy, will be able to have a part of. And what Jesus says, and we'll read this in just a second, but Jesus says that this parable that we're looking at today, the parable of the sower, the parable of the farmer, it's a gateway teaching. It's a gateway parable. Jesus said, if you understand this parable, you will understand all the parables. You will understand the teaching that God has. So I'm excited about it for that standpoint alone, that you and I get to have this discussion today about this parable. So if you would please stand up. I'm going to read Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 13. It won't be on the screen, but 14 through 20 will be. If you'd like to follow along in the Journey Bible, it's on page 1288 of the Journey Bible. And Jesus is giving the interpretation here. He tells the parable, and then now verses 13 through 20, he's going to do some splaining. He's going to interpret it. Then Jesus said to them, verse 13, don't you understand this parable? I think they were kind of like, what is this all about? Maybe you're feeling that way here this morning. How then will you understand any parable? See, he's saying this is an important parable. This is like a lens that goes before your eye. Verse 14, the farmer sows the word. Verse 15, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. This is God's word. You can be seated. So we have the generous farmer here. The generous farmer who takes action for a generous harvest. A generous farmer who takes action for a generous harvest. A harvest that he wants to see happen. So let me give away two things right away. First of all, the farmer in the parable is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord. And the seed is the word of God. We're in this series called Real Jesus. We're studying through the Gospel of Mark, and we're learning about who Jesus is, and we're learning that he is amazingly and incredibly generous. That's the thought I want you to get today. If nothing else, that the Lord is incredibly generous. What does it mean to be generous? Generosity is kind of like this. It's the readiness to give more of something than is expected. We got a definition for you. Generosity is the readiness to give more of something than is expected with a joyful heart. We've been talking about in this series, Real Jesus, that we find out that there's unexpectedness about Jesus, about who he is and about what he does. So it just really fits into generosity. It doesn't make sense how much he gives. Doesn't make sense. And it's all done with a joyful heart. So, you know, like if someone is generous with their time, they may say, hey, I'm going to volunteer for 2 hours, and they wind up staying 4 hours. And they're not all upset about it. They're willing to do it. They have the right attitude. If someone is generous with their money, it's a person that they don't just give what is easy. You know, they really wrestle with that. They prayerfully consider the sacrifice that God may be asking them to make. And, you know, they realize that giving is a way, the discipline of giving is a way to work Christ-likeness in their life. So they just don't do what's easy. And when God shows them what to give, then they do it joyfully. They're a joyful giver. And so the Lord, he generously throws out the seed. Just like this broadcast. I'm telling you, this can throw it out there. You go back and forth, and then perpendicular, and then diagonal both ways, and it's like you can see the seed all over there, and that's like God. That's the way God is. He gives and gives and he gives. And it's something to think about. It's something to meditate about, and I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to think of, you know, the song America the Beautiful. It talks about amber waves of grain. Let's put that slide up there. I mean, I want you to think of God's generosity in this way. Like, look at that expansive field. And look at the idea where that came from. And look at what that produces. And a bountiful and overflowing harvest of wheat. And that's just a picture. That's just a remembrance of the generosity of God. He rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And that's who he is. Now, the seed. Let's talk about the seed. The seed is the word, it says. Very literally, the seed is the word. That's what verse 14 says. That's what he's interpreting it. Jesus says, the seed is the word. Now, the word comes from the Greek word logos. It's an important word. Look it up, study it sometime. This word logos has a lot of deep theological meaning. It can be interpreted or it can be translated just simply word, like it is here. But it can also be understood as this, the divine reason. Some of you that have been around church a little bit, you know John chapter 1. It talks about the Word being Christ, and the Word was God. It's one of our proofs for that Jesus Christ is God. And the word there, it's the Greek word logos. And so it's a very expansive word, but think about this. The divine reason, the explanation of many things, big and small. You know, things like the cosmos. Where did the cosmos come from? You know, why are we here? You know, personal cosmos, big things, little things. The divine reason, the word, the message, it goes out and it's generously going out. It's going out through creation, where if we understand cosmology, like cause and effect, like why are we here? Well, this all came from somewhere. And then the teleological argument of God is There's design in this world. Look at the design. Things don't just turn out like this. And then there's specific word from the Lord, which is the Bible, that helps us understand who we are, where we came from, how should we live. You know, things like what's our final destiny? And so I want to say it this way. The seed or the word is any information, any insight, any instruction that comes from the Lord. That's the seed. Now, when you think about it in that light, like, look how generous that is in our world. Look how much of it goes out from the gracious hand of God. Now, think of that seed, each of those teachings. It's maybe not all of it, but it's the blueprint for a fruitful life. It's the kingdom of God in embryonic form. Okay, just add water, right? It's right there, and it's going out. And what this parable teaches us, if heard, and deeply received, will bring a generous harvest, will bring an incredible harvest for all those who see it and enjoy it. So this is the last part of the parable. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this part. Our hearts are representative of the soils, the different soils. Our hearts, like inside of you, figuratively, like the center of the person is kind of, you know, the definition of the figurative heart. Our hearts are representative of the soils. You and I and all people in the various locations around the world, around Michigan, wherever, are where the harvest can take place. Your heart is where the harvest can begin to grow and can take root and can take place. But it really boils down to how we view God's generosity, His generousness of what He gives. It really boils down to the condition of our soil, our heart soil. Like, what's going on in here? So let's look at each of these. I'm going to call them heart soils. Okay? So the first one, it's not a hard path, it's a hard heart. That's what this is talking about. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel, he says that the Israelites have a heart of stone. And that's kind of along the same lines. It's where a person ignores or just flat out rejects God's gracious word. The hard heart is so that the kingdom seeds cannot penetrate it. It's like, it's the way Superman deflects bullets, if you're familiar with that. It just caroms off. I want you to imagine something. You make an incredible meal for someone that you love, for some people that you love, let's even say. And you took the time to get the ingredients, and it's very nutritious. Okay, it's, you know, you really want, you want it to be tasty, you want it to be nutritious, you spend the time, you do the research, you learn from others, and you create this incredible meal, and then you have somebody come, someone that you love, and you offer this wonderfully made meal, and they go, no, I don't want any. That's a picture of the hard heart. Like, here's a wonderful meal. Here's something that will fuel you and help you and get you to where you need to go. And it's a refusal. How does a heart become hard? How does a heart become hard? Maybe your heart is hard this morning. You know it. You can feel it. Well, it could be because of pride. Like, I can do this. I got this. I don't need anybody else telling me what to do. I don't need God telling me what to do. This is my body, and I'm going to do with it the way I think is right. Maybe it's because of this. Maybe God has let you down. Maybe something happened, and you're angry at God about it. And your heart is hard. And even though God's out there flinging the seed, just bouncing off, pa-tarong, pa-tarong, It's not coming in. You know, sometimes it's this. People have resentment towards other people. You have bitterness towards other people. Hating others has a negative impact on your receptivity to God's message. It just does. It doesn't jive right. It doesn't work with what God has going for you. It could be this, that you're enjoying sin. It could be sexual sin. It could be you fill in the blank. Any kind of sin. It's just deeply self-centered living. And you want nothing of being like Christ. And so your heart is hard. You don't want to change. If this is you, I just want you to know, I want to warn you. I want to encourage you. Whether you're at home or whether you're here, you're missing out on the generosity of the farmer. You're missing out on the generous harvest that he wants to grow up in you. You're missing out on a thriving life, the life God has for you. And the only way to reverse this, the only way is to cultivate your heart. And this will be painful. Your hard heart needs to be broken up. Anybody here ever used a rototiller before? Raise your hand. You start that puppy up, and if it's hard, like if you're on a path and you're going to break up the soil, a rototiller is like breaks up the soil, right? You get it on a path, and it'll jump up like this, right? You ever had that happen? Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you before. It's like you're riding a bucking bronco, like, whoa, this is fun, you know? I know it's not fun because your arms are attached to that, and it's hurting, you know? And it's like, that's what it's like, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to scar you, and it's going to rip you up. It's like heart surgery in many ways. But it needs to happen, and what is that? What is that figurative of, that rototiller? It's figurative of repentance, of repenting, of coming to God and acknowledging your sinfulness, acknowledging your unforgiveness, acknowledging your bitterness. It's humbling yourself and seeking forgiveness. And that'll do the job of a rototiller. That will begin to break up your soul. You know why? God opposes the proud. But what does he do? He gives what? Grace to the humble. Say it with me. He gives grace to the humble. One more time. He gives grace to the humble. Okay, so that's a hard heart. Let's look at the shallow heart. Here's the shallow heart. When hearing the word, it is received, but not deeply. It's only temporarily received. It never gets rooted in because there's a layer there. It's like this. It's an if-then faith. My question to you this morning, do you have an if-then faith? What's an if-then faith, you may ask? If God helps me, then I'm in. If God does not help me, then I'm not in with him and his ways. Is that you? I find it shocking how many people live that way. That is a shallow heart. That is a shallow faith. It's a heart that's only looking at the short term. It's not recognizing that we have a generous farmer, the Lord, who has plans, long-term plans. It may look like faith, but it's not really faith. Is that you? It's like in football. Anybody watch football? Raise your hand. I'm a big advocate of watching football. When my team wins. The Lions won last week. They blew their draft pick for next year. So I'm a little mad about that. But anyway, they won. Okay, so like in football, sometimes in football, a catch, what looks like a catch is not really a catch. Have you ever noticed that before? Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Now let me explain. So the quarterback throws the ball to the receiver. The receiver, it looks like he catches it, but then the refs go, incomplete. And it's because of this. He did not complete the what? Some of you guys know. The process of the what? The catch. Some of you don't know. Boy, I'm teaching today. This is amazing. Some of you don't know this, but the quarterback throws the ball, and the receiver has to grab it, hold it tightly, pull it in, have it, and then get 2 feet inbounds, 1, 2, and make a football move. Okay? That could be tucking it away. It could be, you know, dancing in front of others. It could be all kinds of things. I won't do any more dancing, I promise. I want to see my church leave here this morning. But it's kind of the same way. It's like sometimes we get it and then something knocks it away. That's not a catch. The defender knocked it away. Well, what could knock it away? Well, we talked about this last week. Faith in Christ will bring difficulty into your life. If you're a follower of Christ and you're true to Him, you're going to face, Jesus said, trials. You will face persecution if you're true to Him. And if you're not, that begs a question. Why am I not facing any opposition? There's something to think about with that. But Jesus says that you'll face trials, you'll face persecution, and if you have a shallow heart, you'll fumble the ball. It'll get knocked out. The D-back will punch it right out of there because you've not grabbed onto it. And so the shallow heart, we got to go deeper. We got to bring it deeper. We got to grab onto this. Why do some people have a shallow heart? Well, here's one reason. We could say this in different ways and say other things as well. Some people think of God as a consumer product. We think of God as, hey, God, I need this. I need it now. And, you know, He should give me what I ask for. And again, when He doesn't give us what we ask for, we're done with Him. And that's treating God as a consumer good. He's the one that spoke this place into existence. He's the Redeemer. He's the Holy God of heaven. We shouldn't treat God like that. So maybe this is you. Maybe you treat Him that way. And what do you need to do? You got to break through that shallow soil. You got to break through that rocky layer. You've got to get rid of the if-then faith. You got to go all in. You're like, I'm all in, no matter what. I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm one of His disciples. I'm going to be like Him. I won't be perfect because I'm prone to failure, but I'm all in. I'm not waiting to see what happens. Is that you? Today you can do that. You can commit yourself to being all in. You can surrender. That's what it takes. It takes surrender. It takes opening your hand with your life and saying, I don't understand all this, but Lord, I trust You. You are the generous farmer. And I lay my life at Your feet. All right, let's look at the crowded heart. The crowded heart is a divided heart. The person that has this heart truly has received the word. They caught the ball, inbounds, made a football move, all that stuff. They've made a catch and all that, but their heart is divided. Chances are, the person with the crowded heart is a very busy person. They're busy doing a lot of things, okay? And so their heart soil is crowded with many things. And Jesus points them out. He says, the worries of life. Now, we just had an election on Tuesday, and there were some things in that election that probably didn't set well with you. I'm guessing, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from. Let me ask you, how much is that dominating your life right now? Do you have hope despite what happened about Proposition 3? Do you have hope despite what happened about different things in the election? Or are you just depressed by it? You're consumed by it? That's showing you it's taking too much of your energy. It's soaking up that sun that could be used for photosynthesis, right? And then Jesus goes on and He talks about the other ones. And, you know, He says, the deceitfulness of wealth. And we have a great example from Scripture, the rich young ruler who was not willing to give up his wealth. That took precedence in his life. And Jesus said, the lust for other things. And really what's happening in the crowded heart is that God is not prioritized. Know this, there's a competition going on for your energy, for your prioritization. And what happens is these other things grow up that are not as important. They choke out the productivity of the kingdom seed. So we're a plant, but we're sterile. There's nothing of worth to other people. There's not a harvest. There's not fruit there for other people. In the book of Hebrews, it said there that the people there, they're, I thought you could handle real food, but you need milk. You're still a baby. You're still immature in your faith. So what do we need to do? If this is us, we need to pull out the weeds of our heart. We need to get rid of some of these things. Shake the dirt off, you know. Keep the dirt there. We need the dirt. Pull the weeds out. You know, football is way too important to me. I should not be spending all day Saturday watching football. I'm going to pull it out, shake the dirt off. I'm just going to check the highlights on Monday. It's too much. It's crowding my life. I'm focusing more on that. It could be anything like that that you need to pull out of your life to make priority for the message of God that can change your life. All right, lastly, receptive heart, the person who's willing to accept the word. They are, they want God's word. There's open soil there. I'm going to go back to the football guy just one more time, okay? Just one more time, I promise. So that ball is up in the air, and there are certain guys that they will do anything to catch that ball. And you see them. There's different guys that they just go up one-handed, whatever. They grab on the ball, and they can fall on their head, and they don't care. They got that ball. They're receiving that word. It's deep within them. And that's what a receptive heart is. You want God's word. You want it. You need it. You know you need it. And you want it to go deep. It's a heart that's been tilled. The soil is broken up. That means there's repentance. There's the cycle of repentance and forgiveness going on in your life. You've broken through the rock, that shallowness. The weeds have been pulled. They've been prepared. There's an eagerness there. And what happens is your life will be fruitful. I'm going to have Johnny and Zach come up here right now. So I want to point your attention to the screen. Which is your heart soil? I want you to think about this. Which one is your heart soil right now? Which one? Grab one of them. Is your heart hard? Is your heart shallow? Is it crowded with many other things? Or receptive to what God has to say? We're going to finish this up with some next steps.
That's right. Here we go.
Yeah.
It's time for next steps. This is the time where we try to bring it real practical for you guys. Bring it down, land the plane. And Norm, thank you so much for that message. Thank you for the manology of football.
Sorry, ladies. I tried to do the gardening.
We'll do ballot. No, I don't know. I'm going to get a bit real stereotypical and get in trouble soon. So we have a couple next steps. Let's get there.
Let's do that.
First next step that we have is cultivate generosity or reflect on the generosity of God in your own heart and life. This is actually something that I tried this week. There were a couple moments that I just really wanted to savor the people that I was with. There was one day I was out hunting with my dad and my grandpa for pheasant. And in that day, just throughout it, I would take time and just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm smelling, what I'm feeling in this moment, and just being mindful towards Him and saying, thank you. And if you want to see God move in your life, practice gratitude. Say thank you. Say thank you for big things. Say thank you for small things. Say thank you for easy things. Say thank you for the hard things that you're still here after. Sometimes that's the best you. Thank you that I'm still here after that. But practice gratitude.
The next one is cultivate.
Yes.
Tend to your soul.
Yes.
Your soil.
Yeah.
Your heart soil. Tend to it. And I just want to encourage everybody here to think about what's one thing I can do to cultivate my heart. What's one weed I can pull out? What's one way I can break up the soil, like repentance? What's one thing I can do to advance myself towards a harvest?
That's right.
A life harvest.
And our last next step for today, generously bring seed to others. Sow seed. And this is, a lot of times I'm actually doing a lot of study on this. What does it look like to share God with people around you? I mean, it's practicing gratitude in front of them, saying, I am thankful that God got me to work on time today because those roads were slick. I'm thankful that God has made a way, that I can have this conversation that's difficult and just tell people around you about that. It's practicing that soul cultivation around other people. It's praying before a meal at work. It's, reading your Bible on break. Whatever it is, it's just being public with your faith. And it's an embryo. That's something I think sometimes it's like we got to have the whole plant grown up and ready to go before we can give it to somebody. Nope, we're casting seed. Small steps, little things. I love Deb Graham's testimony. She's not here with us today, so I can share it. She said, I came to Jesus because I was just around a woman who knew He was real. And spoke about Him endlessly. She would not be quiet about Him. And she said, slowly over time, that broke through my heart. So those are your next steps for today, Genesis Church.